Well, let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the opportunity we have as we've been worshiping you to gather again to study and to think about your word and its application into our lives. Lord, we thank you for this Psalm 119 and the riches that we are finding as it points us to Christ. And as we can imagine him praying these very words to you, and that we can follow in his steps as your children to also pray these verses back to you for our own edification and our growth in our walk with you. Lord, we just ask you to encourage us this morning as we study this Psalm 119. And Father, that you would just open our eyes that we may behold wonderful things out of your word. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we continue, we're there at verse 57 there in Psalm 119. And let me just read these next eight verses, and then we'll begin here. It says, Psalm 119, verse 57. You are my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep your words. I entreated your favor with my whole heart. Be merciful to me according to your word. I thought about my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. I made haste and I did not delay to keep your commandments. The cords of the wicked have bound me, but I have not forgotten your law. At midnight, I will rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous judgments. I am a companion of all who fear you and of those who keep your precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of your mercy. Teach me your statutes. Again, this psalm is pointing us to Jesus. You know, Jesus, the Son of God, Emmanuel, grew in his human body and lived here on earth without sin. Jesus came to the earth not to glorify himself, but he came to be that atoning sacrifice and the author of our salvation. Now, Hebrews 5, starting at verse 5, it says, so also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he, the Father, who said to him, you are my son, today I have begotten you. As he also says in another place, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. And this is the next part talks about how what Christ did in his days of flesh. It says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. You know, as we think about Jesus, when he was his time here on earth in his flesh, he offered up prayers and supplications while he was here. You know, it wasn't just, I don't think we get to see all that time that he prayed. There's a lot of stuff we don't know. You know, John wrote that if we were to record everything that Jesus said and did, there's not enough books, you know, to write all that. And so as we look at Jesus, we see that he sinned, or he prayed and lived his life without sin. Jesus was perfect. He was the Lamb of God, and he is the only hope. In fact, there is no other way for God to forgive us. You know, Pastor was talking about our own sinfulness and that we are all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And there is only one way to resolve our problem. And that was for Jesus, God, to come to earth in flesh and to live a absolutely perfect life without sin. I can't comprehend it. I can say the words, but I can't comprehend it. Without sin, he never even thought a sinful thought. He never spoke a sinful word. He never did a sinful deed. And yet, he came to be our Savior. And during his earthly time here, Jesus prayed. And I believe that, you know, Psalm 119 was one of Jesus' prayer templates, if you will, that he would pray. And we, those who have put their faith and trust in Christ as our Lord and Savior, we also can pray these same prayers as we walk with Jesus. You know, 1 John 1:7 says, "But if we walk in the light as he," talking about Jesus, "is in the light, we have fellowship with one another." You know, our fellowship is with Jesus. And as we are walking with him, we have fellowship with him. And then John says, "And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin." It is only because of that blood we are able to have that fellowship with Christ. So let's look at these first four verses here in our text, 57 through 60. And as we look at these verses from Jesus' perspective, his prayers, if you will, Jesus says, "You are my portion," speaking of the Father. "Nothing else works but doing things your way." That's kind of how I've summarized these four verses. You know, Jesus, living his life in this human flesh, though he was God, he was controlled and directed by the written word of God found in the Old Testament. There was only one path, God's commandments being applied in a walk with the Father. Jesus was not a legalist, you know, trying to do the law to gain favor with the Father. Nor was Jesus an antinomian, you know, disregarding the law, you know, doing what was right in his own eyes. No, Jesus saw that the Father was his portion and that he walked with the Father while here on earth. That word portion, you know, there in that first part of verse 57 says, "You are my portion, O Lord, and I have said that I would keep your words." That word portion is that idea of one's possession, the idea of one's inheritance, the idea that I can say, "That's mine. That's my portion." And Jesus was saying, "The Father, that's mine. He's my portion." You know, when I was thinking about this, I thought of how Jesus, there in John 10:30, says, the Father was Jesus' portion, so that Jesus says, "I and the Father are one." You know, Jesus so identified himself while he was here on earth that he says, "We're one. We are so interlocked with one another." As I was looking at some cross references, I chased a rabbit, looking at Lamentations 3, where the verse 24 says, "The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in him." As I was looking at the context of that verse in Lamentations, there's a couple of verses we use all the time. But as I was reading around it, I noticed I could hear Jesus praying these verses as well. And if you will, you know, turn with me to Lamentations 3, starting there at verse 19. You know, it says, remember my affliction and roaming, the wormwood and the gall, there in verse 19. And as I thought about that, I thought, well, gall, that's a familiar word. Oh, wait a minute. There on the cross. You know, Jesus was given that sponge that had that sour wine and gall. And I thought, well, remember my affliction and roaming. You know, as Jesus was here, if you will, roaming about in Judea and in Jerusalem and in the countryside, the afflictions that he received from the religious leaders, those who ought to have recognized what he was saying, and no. They crucified him. Verse 20, my soul still remembers and sinks within me. All through Jesus' life, and particularly those last 3 years, when right after or just before his baptism, John would point out and say, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus knew who he was. He was the Lamb of God, the one that would have to be that perfect sacrifice to satisfy the Father. My soul still remembers and sinks within me. Can you imagine that during those 3 years, the cross was heavy on his heart? That he would have to go and die and to bear our sins. That would sink heavy on his heart. And then verse 20 says, and this recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. And what is this? I think it's the next two verses, 22 and 23. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Jesus saw the Father's mercies, his compassions towards himself. You know, this Jesus recalls to his mind. You know, as he thinks about the cross, he also thinks about the Father who is watching over him. He reminds himself that I'm not consumed because my Father's compassions do not fail. In fact, every morning when Jesus arises, he remembers, great is your faithfulness. And then verse 24 is where I came spinning off from that psalm. It says, the Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I hope in him. The Father is my portion. We are so tied together, I have hope. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Jesus' salvation was his resurrection because he died. He was dead there on the cross. They took him off the cross. They buried him. He was dead. But his salvation was his resurrection, which also became our salvation as well. And here in Lamentations, it reflects daily Jesus' hope is renewed as he waits and seeks the Father's will. The more I reflect on what Christ has done there at the cross, The more as I read God's word, and particularly the Old Testament, because we're reminded, and Jesus told the Pharisees, you search the scriptures thinking you have eternal life, but it's they that testify about me. As we look at the Old Testament, it should scream, Jesus. It should point us to the gospel over and over and over again. You know, again, so let's go back to that Psalm 119, that verse 58. I entreated your favor with my whole heart. Be merciful to me according to your word. You know, Jesus continued to pray for the Father's favor to be merciful to him. And the next verse, I thought about my ways and I turned my feet to your testimonies. You know, Jesus was always tempted. He was tempted in every area just like we are. And Jesus was always considering how he lives. He would have to be asking himself, well, what would be the consequences if I did X? And Jesus always chose to do the things the Father's way, according to the scriptures. I thought about my ways, but I turned my feet to your testimonies. In verse 60, it says, and I made haste to do not delay. I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments. Now, Jesus didn't take long to weigh out the pluses and minuses of what he was about thinking about doing. With haste and without delay, he obeyed, and he kept the Father's commandments, which became his commandments. Jesus was so in tune, if you will, with the Word of God, the written Word of God, that it became his very words that he would be living by and speaking. You know, when we see how Jesus would be using this psalm, you know, how about us? How do we apply this in our prayer life? We need to remind ourselves that you are my portion. Nothing else works but doing things your way. Have you come to a place just in your own walk with the Lord? Are you able to say, the Lord is my portion? Therefore, I hope in him. Can you say, Jesus is mine? He's my portion. This is what counts. Is your only hope found there at the foot of the cross? Are you growing in that walk with Jesus? Is that blood that has been shed on the cross becoming more precious to you? It's not just theological, oh yeah, Jesus' blood. No, is it becoming precious to you? It's Jesus' blood that covers me. Again, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Am I walking with Jesus and learning to pray like Jesus? Are you walking with Jesus and learning to consider my ways and then quickly turning to the Father's ways? You know, Pastor mentioned this morning, you know, a man thinks in his whole heart that I'm okay. But as we're walking with Jesus, are we turning to God's words and finding out, I'm not okay. I need to be walking with Jesus. You know, learning to walk with Jesus is learning to be in step with the Spirit and not fulfilling the lusts of flesh. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Therefore, our fellowship with Jesus is without barriers. The sins have been taken care of there at the cross, and therefore I have an entrance into the presence of God Himself. There are no more barriers. Jesus has taken care of that. And Jesus uses a lot of different illustrations to try to help us understand the relationship that we have with Him. You know, he talks about Him being the vine and we are the branches. We are abiding in Him. And as we are abiding in Him, we are fruitful. Jesus uses another illustration there in Matthew 11 about yoking up with Him. Yoke up and get into step with Jesus. You know, it's that picture of the yoke of oxen, and there's two oxen next to each other. You know, Jesus is one and I'm the other. Which one's the stronger? Which one knows which way to go? My job is to learn to get into step with Jesus. Now, if I try to drag my feet, it's kind of like, you know, we'll see this trail of hooves, you know, being dragged along. And if I try to go too fast, it's kind of like, going the other way. I'm fighting against Jesus, being yoked up with Him. But when I learn to get into step with Jesus, then there's a sweet fellowship of walking with Him. You know, there in verse 58 of the Psalm 119, I entreated your favor with my whole heart, be merciful to me. Do you pray for the Father's favor to be merciful to me? Well, we need it. You know, just as even as the pastor was preaching this morning, we need God's mercy that we might be, because of His favor towards us. I thought about my ways, verse 59, and I turned my feet to your testimonies. Do you always consider how you're living? Do you ever think about, well, what is the consequences if I do X? Do you choose to do the things that the Father's way according to the Scriptures, or do you do that which is right in your own eyes? You know, we're reminded that there's no temptation that is taking you that isn't common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. You know, that next verse, I made haste and I did not delay to keep your commandments. How long do you weigh out what you want to do? The pluses and the minuses. The longer you dwell on the temptation, easier it is to justify the sin. You know, I think of David. You know, as he was walking about that balcony there in his palace that one day, and he looked over and saw Bathsheba taking a bath. He did not make haste and turn and run away. I can kind of imagine David looking over and, she's pretty. She's real pretty. And the more he thought, the easier it was for him to justify his sin. The psalmist there, verse 60, he says, I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments. You know, when Jesus was tempted, he made haste and did not delay to keep the Father's commandments. You know, when we're tempted, we need to immediately walk away from the temptation and walk with Jesus instead. As we consider this prayer again from Jesus' perspective, 61 verses 62, you know, Jesus says, I am staying focused amid the wicked. You know, for 3 years of ministry, Jesus endured. Though surrounded by sinners, Jesus always had the glory of the Father in view. Jesus always had the cross in view. And he endured by maintaining a perfect and sinless life. He had a habit of prayer in his life. You know, early on in Mark chapter 1, verse 35, it says, Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. I think that was part of Jesus' habit. This is what he did. He got up early and prayed, spent time with the Father, communing with him, reflecting on the Word of God, letting those words, if you will, speak to him as he speaks these back to the Father. Those righteous judgments will be completed there at the cross. With thanksgiving, Jesus is looking beyond the cross to the resurrection and his ascension. You know, for the Christian, am I staying focused in the midst of wickedness? You know, when you feel the pressure of wicked people or just the wickedness of our society, I mean, we all acknowledge it's getting worse. It's not getting better. Do we stay focused? How do you respond to wicked people? Do you say, Oh, woe is me. Someone has been unkind to me. Someone says hurtful things to me. We look out and we see society as a whole has rejected the God of the Bible. Do you stay in this self-pity party? Or do you turn to the Lord in prayer? Do you comfort yourself with God's words? Do you remind yourself that you are a child of your Heavenly Father? Your elder brother has laid down his life for you. I need to stay focused. No matter what the wickedness around me, no matter what hurtful things are I'm on the receiving end of, I turn to the Father and I pray. Because I do not forget God's Word. There I find my comfort. There I find and I put things into perspective. You know, in these last two verses, the prayer is, I am a companion of all who fear you. And those who keep your precepts, the earth, O Lord, is full of your mercy. Teach me your statutes. Jesus' fellowship is with us, believers. Common grace and mercy ought to motivate us to pray and learn more of God's Word. You know, Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, he says, If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. You know, as we make God's word our priority of to think about, to meditate upon, as we are abiding in Jesus' words, as we are abiding in God's word, we are indeed his disciples, his followers. And later on in John 15, he says, "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." Man, talk about having a good friend. Jesus calls us his friends. You know, Psalm 16:3 says, "As for the saints who are on earth, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight." You know, as we are Jesus' friends, we are his delight. And Jesus had friendships, didn't he, while he was here? You know, it appeared that he even had some favorites of John and Peter and James. You know, these guys are kind of on the inner circle. And particularly John, who it says that the one whom Jesus loved. But all the disciples were his friends. Jesus was able to show how God's common grace and mercy was being shown all around them. You know, Matthew 5, you know, Jesus, there in the Sermon on the Mount, he was saying, "But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons and daughters of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust." There's a common grace that God pours out upon all of us. And that should motivate us to learn more about God. Who is this God that shows this kind of kindness? Luke's account in Luke 6:35, paralleling this part of the Sermon on the Mount, it says, "But love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and evil." You know, when we think about how God treats the wicked, we think, "God, why don't you just smoke those guys? Get them out of here. They're wrecking everything." And yet, it's the kindness of the Lord that actually draws people to himself. The unthankful and the evil, when we show them God's kindness and show them his blessings upon them, they might think like, "Oh, look what I've done." And again, kind of piggybacking off the sermon this morning, you know, man intends in his what to say, but God brings forth the words. You know, we think, "Look what I'm doing." But if we step back, we say, "No, look what God is doing through me." You know, for the Christian, our fellowship is with one another. Our fellowship is with Jesus himself. And that common grace and that mercy ought to be motivating us. I want to learn more about God's word. You know, the Apostle John, writing in his little epistle in 1 John, he says, verse 3, "That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." Our fellowship is with one another because our fellowship is with the Father and the Son. If I am in fellowship with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, I will be in fellowship here with one another. If I'm not in fellowship here with one another, then I would question your fellowship with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Because of our relationship with Jesus, you need to ask yourself, is my fellowship here sweet? Do I look forward to coming to church just to be hanging out with one another? Now, I've got a couple of different Bible studies that I'm involved with during the week, and I just enjoy the fellowship with these guys. It's sweet. And we encourage one another. And our fellowship is focused on Christ around the cross. Because the ground is level at the foot of the cross. No one's more important. No one's less important. We are equal. Because in Christ, because of the blood, we have fellowship with one another. And as we see God's common grace, and we want to learn the Word of God. I hope that's a desire for each one of you. I want to learn more. You know, it's not like, oh yeah, I read that one once. Man, I am finding out as I'm going through this Psalm 119, it's kind of like, I never saw that one. I read Psalm 119 a bunch of times. But as I'm studying, I say, oh, I missed that. And I know that if the Lord gives me many more years and I reread Psalm 119, I'll say, I missed that. I should have put that in my lesson. But how do we learn? How do we learn God's Word? I think it's simple. We yoke up with Jesus and learn to walk in His steps. New Matthew 11:29, we've talked about this. It says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. As we learn to walk in step with Him. You know, Peter said it this way in 1 Peter 2. He says, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps. As we look and as we consider Jesus' life, as we look and see how He was walking with the Father, how He applied the Word of God to His life situations around Him, as the Pharisees tried to trick Him, as the devil tried to tempt Him, Jesus used the Word of God to answer those temptations, to answer those accusations. It was the Word of God that Jesus used to reply. As we follow His steps, let's follow Him in His prayers. Let's follow Him in His application of obeying the Father. The more that I've been spending time in this psalm, the more I realize how I have failed utterly to be keeping in step with Jesus. I'm encouraged to do it more. Day by day, I come to the cross and say, And I'm thankful for that blood that covers me. I'm not perfect. If you don't believe me, ask Diane. She'll say, yeah, he's not perfect. He's got a long way to go. But by God's grace, we continue to walk with Jesus and with one another. You know, by His grace and His mercy, we learn to rest in that finished work of the cross. And we realize it's not me, but it's Christ in me. And yeah, there's a battle. My flesh wants to do one thing. And the Holy Spirit who lives within me wants to do another. And there's this battle going on. And yet when I yoke up with Christ and learn to walk with Him, I find I'm not as anxious. I'm not as worried. I'm not as stressed. And by God's grace, I can share Christ with others. I would encourage you this week just to be reflecting on your relationship and your fellowship with Christ. Is He your portion? Can you say, oh, Jesus is mine, and everything else is rubbish in comparison? That was Paul's attitude. Once he locked on to Christ and Him crucified, and as he reflected on his life, he says, everything that I have is rubbish in comparison to knowing Christ and Him crucified. I would encourage you to examine your walk. Do I find that sweet fellowship with Christ? And do I see it evidenced in my fellowship with one another? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You how, oh, You are continuing to remind us of our relationship with You is because of what Jesus has done for us there at the cross, taking upon Himself our sins, and that He died, and He took those sins to His grave. And Father, that on that third day He rose victorious over sin. The debt has been paid in full. And Lord, that as we put our faith and trust in Christ, we also raise with Him as new creatures in Christ. Oh, Father, help us in our walk, in our fellowship with You, that we would see You as our portion, that we can say, Jesus is mine. He belongs to me, and I belong to Him. Father, may our words, our thoughts, our actions reflect our walk with You. Thank You for loving us and drawing us to Yourself. Help us to honor and glorify You in all that we think, say, and do. In Jesus' name, amen.